John chapter 8 is part 2 of son-daughtership. Our discipleship is all about that. It's not about the what, it's about the who you become, the who you have become, and learning what that means. This new life that you have in Christ, this sonship, this daughtership that you have with the Lord, what's that all about? As Jan was sharing, it's okay, from Isaiah, I'm waking up in the morning and the Lord is going to instruct me. That speaks to sonship. That speaks to her daughtership with the Lord. It's like, anything's possible today, Lord. Show me, Lord God, in my work, wherever I'm going to be at, Lord God. Instruct me. Teach me, Lord God. So a beautiful thing shared today has a lot to do with what we're talking about, this sonship. We left off, when the Son sets us free in this reality, we are free indeed. And verse 35 really brings this to bear about the sonship and the daughtership. And it speaks to this way. Verse 35, a servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. We haven't been called to a place of being a servant in the sense of a temporary relationship with God. We've been called to an eternal relationship with him. The greatest truth in your life is that identity that you have with God, and that's a son or daughter of the living God. Yes, we serve him in that capacity. Yes, we worship him in that capacity. Yes, we follow him in that capacity. But the greatest central truth is you're a son, you're a daughter of the living God. If you put anything else in the center of that, that's, I just serve God, and you put that at the center, your wheel's going to wobble. You're not going to have a centered life in the Lord. You need to center on that truth. Jesus centered on that truth. All his walk, he demonstrated, whether he was being tempted in the desert by the devil or he was being challenged by the religious elite. He knew who he was, and he kept saying that. I know who I am. The Father sent me. And they're like, well, you can't say that. You can't. Well, he's just speaking what the truth is. He knew who he was. And he's going to get to the A bomb here at the end of this chapter, the I am bomb. He's going to really drop it on them. So let's get there. In verse 35 and going forward, a servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. You've been called to a forever relationship with the Lord. What's it contingent on? If you mess up? No. It's contingent on the cross that he died on it. You can't change that. You can't alter his love for you. You can't undo the cross. You've been made a son. Made the simple illustration, if I just go back to that real quickly, I can't remove the DNA out of my son or my two daughters. I can't go physically remove that. That's a reality that's always going to exist. Tony, we're getting a divorce today. You're no longer my son. Dad, what are you talking about? I was just messing around, Tony. I can't remove the DNA from my son, nor do I want to ever. I love my son. As angry as I might be on a day, in a given day, or whatever situation happens, he is my son. I am proud of that fact. Anthony Lewis Myers is my son. That reality will never change. You come up to me and you talk bad about my son or my daughters, I will tell you that. That's my son. That's my daughters. And that's how God speaks about you and me. That's how he talks about each one of us. That's my son. That's my daughter. Does it make sense now when he talks to us in this wise, when he says, how can you love me when you hate your brother in that kind of context, knowing that that brother is also a son? That value should increase. Their value should increase. We should value people, esteem others higher than ourselves. How do we do that? You see them as sons and daughters of the living God. Well, you're really good. No, that's not about that. You are simply, the core truth is that Jesus died for you. And by that right and by that power, you've been made a son or daughter. That is a fantastic, phenomenal reality. You guys don't realize it. Oh my goodness. The relationship that we've been brought into. You know, there's an intimacy in in God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is a beautiful, pure intimacy. There's a powerful relationship there. And for God to invite us into that is fantastic. It is amazing. It is the reality that we come to and gather in and worship Him in. It's a beautiful reality. In verse 36, he goes on, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me," Jesus says to these religious elite, "because my word has no place in you. Truth hasn't been able to land." The helicopter of truth doesn't have a pad to land on here, this religious people. So the invitation is to be free as he is. Look at Jesus, how free he is. He has the Pharisees coming at him, trying to tell him who he is and trying to cut him down and all that stuff. He has Satan doing that. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. He has all this going on, but he stands free because he knows who he is. If I have to emphasize that point for 3 hours straight here, folks, I'm going to do it. Because this is the reality that we fail or flop on. When you stop believing that you're a son or a daughter of the living God, and you start accepting a lesser reality, you will start going in a dark direction. This is where we fall and fail in. And our freedom is beautiful. And it's in this freedom that he has that the Son has given us. He's free from the approval of man. How did he do this? He knew who he is. He knew who he was. A son, the son. A son is a son and a daughter is a daughter. Some of us have gone through the experience of divorce or know people that have. Children make divorce impossible. Just to give you a little clue out there. Children make divorce impossible. A lawyer can't do anything, no matter how fancy he is, no matter how much he paces up and down, no matter how fancy his words and paperwork are, they cannot remove the DNA from your children. They can't take the Y chromosomes, they can't take the genes out of your son and say, okay, those belong to him, and this child we're going to split this way. He can't do that. Children, I find very interesting, make divorce impossible, the thing that God hates. Children have made that impossible, to completely to be divorced, because there they are. That oneness, that unity will always exist in that child. They are a son and they are a daughter. With all the medical procedures we do these days to change identity, gender, we can't undo that one. I hope you guys know that. And all the craziness that's going on out there, where they inject people, young people, inject people, they start injecting them because they feel that they're a certain gender. And emotionally they're saying this. They start injecting them with things. They cannot change the genetic characteristic of their cells, the trillion cells that's in their body. Every single one of those cells will say boy or girl. You cannot change that medically. You can inject hormones in a girl and they can start growing hair in different places, or just the opposite, and they can start developing parts that appear to be, you know, and he can have surgical procedures, but you can't undo what's inside of each cell of the human body. That speaks the truth. The DNA speaks boy or girl. You can't undo that. So don't let the world fool you out there that they're making changes, that they're doing something wonderful. It's the furthest from the truth. That identity is burned right into the very DNA in each of the trillion cells, the trillion cells that are in your body. That identity, and the reason I'm making this point today, cannot be removed, no matter what man does, no matter what he injects into you, no matter what he cuts, no matter what he does. That identity is burned in and it's solid. It's been put there by God. Don't get me going here. Lord, let me move on, please. Freedom according to this world is doing whatever you want and not having consequences. The world says find your identity in your emotion or feelings. The only part of truth in that kind of freedom is that God has given us that free will to be able to exercise that and go in those directions. That's the only freedom that you're experiencing, is your free will. But you find yourself on an unstable ground of emotions and feelings which change all the time. You are not free in that state, as God would have defined. Our sonship, our daughtership, is a right endowed by our Creator. Freedom is not from our Creator, but in our Creator. I know who I am and why I'm here and what I need to do today, because it flows out of that freedom and my identity in Him. I'm not doing to become a son. If I do this today, if I give to the poor, if I go to here and if I call this person and I do this, and then I'm kind of like a son. No, that's works. That's legalism. You start as a son, and out of that flows what I do. Everything flows out of my identity of who I am with God. Do you understand the difference between works and legalism? Works and legalism will send you right to hell. So it's an important point. Okay, don't let the things that you do define you. Let the cross define you and what God has declared. That can't be revoked. It's been imprinted in each one of us. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live is our identity. We read that together. Today, we're going to read it as a body. We're going to use the word we. So I'm going to read it through with that and then invite you to read it in with me. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. In the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So let's do that together. Roger read about the unity, the bond of peace today from Ephesians, I believe. And that is why we're going to do that exercise as a together thing. We are crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. In the life which we live, now in the flesh, we live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verses 37 through 40. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place to land in you, no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father. You do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, verse 40 says, Jesus responding, a man has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Their father, Jesus is going to point out here, is the devil, Satan. By the way, that's yours and mine. That's our sin nature that we're born with. That is our birthright, is the devil being our daddy. That's pretty radical truth, sorry to tell you that. But you're all born with a sin nature, going to hell. Okay? It's until the grace of God is realized in your life that that changes. Nothing else will change that. Their father, the devil, conceived at the knowledge of good and evil tree through a lie. Our sin nature, our biology, our mind is at enmity with God now, it says in the scripture. Someone might say, Paul, aren't these very religious people that Jesus is talking to? Aren't these the priests and the rabbis and the well-educated? Well, they certainly are, and their father is the devil. I don't want to tell you guys. It's pretty wild. This is where you would go to. This is the people that were in the temple running things. Their father is Satan. Is Jesus exaggerating? Is he just saying some stuff out of anger here? Or is he speaking the truth? Sonship number one today, Abraham. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Sonship number one. We're going to talk about sons and daughters. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then, Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh has found? If Abraham were justified by works, he has wherefore to glory or brag, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now, to him that works, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Sonship number one is right there in the blueprints of our faith. with Abraham. God says, there it is. I'm going to make this man and what he did, this story, is going to be the blueprints for Roger, for Dick Anthony, for Richard, for Gretchen, for everybody in here. Here's your blueprints, is believing in God. Not trying to work to prove who I am. And ultimately get to a place where God will say, yeah, now you're my son. Put that in the toilet and flush real hard, folks. Flush real hard. You start from a place of being a son or daughter. And you start by believing that. Believing on him that justifies the ungodly. Verse 5, circle it, underline it, put lights on it, light fireworks under it. Abraham, sonship number one, faith. It's by faith that we're saved. Not by works, it's by faith. There it is, believing that God did it for us on the cross. Back to John. Abraham is number one. We could spend a lot of time on each one of these characters. We're going to touch on them very briefly. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They're like, what are you talking about, this father that we have? I'm wondering if this now is a dig at Jesus, because Mary was pregnant before the wedding, and this kind of news would be big news back then. Today, it's almost accepted. His brothers, I am sure, wanted to see him killed. We're happy to have such information well known that, you know, we're not sure where this one came from. He kind of came before the wedding, before Mary and Joseph were actually wed. So I'm sure in their anger at Jesus being boy perfect in the household, we just saw where they wanted to see him killed in this earlier in this chapter. They would have got that information out. And now this coming back, we weren't born of fornication. Sonship or daughtership number two is Ruth. And this would be daughter, of course. If you ever come over to our house, you'll see a plate that there'll be enough food for a person. That's part of the philosophy at our house. Is for Ruth, and the story that goes with that is about gleanings, you know, and to have somebody over and make them feel welcome. You just don't just make barely enough for everybody, you know, and you have an abundance there, and that person's always welcome to come over. Richard Anthony came over, and I told him he was Ruth one night, and we had to change that to Babe Ruth just to make it a little more manly. But the gleanings there, the whatever, you know, the extra, to have that heart too, to want somebody to come by, to be ready for somebody. That's the heart of a believer. That's a cool thing. Ruth is number two. And we did that on Sundays quite some years ago here. We did Ruth. And the girls, I think you've been through Ruth on Tuesday nights. She was a Moabite. She was what God would call the washpot of humanity in the Psalms. You know, and here we see this woman, valued by God, and her life is about redemption. So daughtership brings us to number two point, and that is redemption. You see that with Ruth here. In this interchange with Jesus and who's your daddy, and we're not born of fornication, we see we can go and relate to Ruth and her life. Being plucked out of her people. Remember her walking away from her people? Remember who she was with Orpah, her sister? Orpah started looking back and said, that's our people. That's our traditions. That's where we belong. That's how I grew up. That's everything to me. Remember Orpah and Ruth walking towards Israel, walking towards Jerusalem? And Ruth was, you might not have been here. And Ruth, you weren't born yet. And Ruth said, I want that God. I want the real, living, true God. I don't care about traditions. And you imagine how hard that was to walk away from family and the comfort of where you were brought up? Imagine how hard that was. I understand Orpah. I understand where she was. It's tough when family's set a certain way, and it's how you grew up, and it's all that stuff. It's like, you know what? You peel away from that. It's like the Orpahs kind of just keep going their way, and they got to go back to it. It's like, I've got to follow God. All right, say hi to mom and dad. I've got to follow God and go to this strange place, to a people that she wasn't familiar with. And just knowing that God had called her. She just wanted that relationship with God more than anything. So Ruth, number two, in our sonship, daughtership, our discipleship is about redemption. The redemption of a life being brought into the fold of God. Knowing who your father is, knowing who your true identity is. That's what it's about right there. Her true identity was discovered. It wasn't back in the family. It wasn't back with traditions. Okay? Folks, peel away. Peel away and follow him. Follow him. Verse 42 is going to be about Jesus himself. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Three, this is sonship, daughtership number three. Jesus himself. And that's simply integrity. The word that is going to go with this one is integrity. Knowing who you are deep down. Not being moved from that. You see freedom in who he was. There wasn't any compromise here. There wasn't any concession or retreat. He was free in who he was. Nothing could change that. No shackles of man. No injections, no procedures. Nothing can change who he was. Let's just take a look at some quick verses going back just to emphasize this point in who he was. Because he's inviting us into this integrity. God is pleased when we show this type of faith, by the way. He is pleased when we show this type of faith and we stand on the truth that we are a son or daughter. He is very pleased. He's not pleased when we waffle and we doubt. We look at the mirror, as it says in James chapter 1, and we see some type of identity. We hear a sermon. We read something in the scripture. Then we turn away. Then the world we encounter starts defining us, and we forgot who we were, and we just looked at in the mirror. It does not impress God. Does not applaud that. Look in the mirror. Look in the truth of the scripture and stand in that no matter where you are, at Walmart or Wegmans, at the workplace, at home. Let's look at his integrity as we peel back to the left here in verse 29 of the same chapter. He that sent me is with me. Just listen to it. Listen to it now in this context. That he simply knows who he is. He's free. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Verse 18 of the same chapter. I am the one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. He knew who he was. He knows who he is. Keep going back to chapter 7. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He knows where he came from. He knows where he's going to. Verse 28 of chapter 7. These are all red, by the way, if you're got a red letter Bible. Ye both know me, and you know where I came, where I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Do you hear it? Do you hear the integrity of Jesus? He wants you to have this integrity. Know who you are. When that crazy thought comes across your mind and says, you're just a pig. You're just a scum of the earth pig. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what happened on the cross and what he's declared me to be. Stand up to those things. Don't be a junkyard in your mind of garbage, of bad thoughts. Stand up to these things. Have integrity. Verse 16 of chapter 7 as well. My doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me. Keep going back. Chapter 6. Verse 53. Truly I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I am the bread of life, same chapter, verse 48. Verse 38 of chapter 6. Chapter 5, just loaded with them, we'll pick a couple. Verse 36 of chapter 5. I have a greater witness than of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do. Bear witness of me. Let's pick one from chapter 4. Jesus said, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, knowing exactly why he's here and who he is. Verse 17 of chapter 3,
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. Let's find one in chapter 2. Take these hence in verse 16. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, knowing who his father was, who his daddy is, where he's from. And finally, chapter 1, follow me. Follow me. He knew who he was. Not what the world would say, he's a carpenter, a rabbi, all this, but who? A son. Let's get back to John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Cheyenne read about understanding today. She shared about that. The understanding that comes is something that takes place in the heart. Yeah, there was a physical vibration. They're mentally taking things in, but it's not being received. There's no landing pad that the helicopter of truth can land on. They're hearing him, but not understanding. It's not coming in. This brings us to daughtership. Number 4 for the sonship, daughtership, is Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany was a listener. She had a big, wide helicopter port for the truth of God to land on. Her ears were very tuned in to Jesus Christ and what he had to say. Martha was busy serving. Do you see the difference? Same vicinity, same house. Martha and Mary's relationship with Jesus speaks a lot to what we are supposed to have. So daughtership number 4 for us today is Mary and her listening. In the context of these guys not being able to listen, the well-educated, you have Mary. The uneducated, with a huge helicopter pad of truth, and just receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it as a catcher's mitt in your heart. Think of understanding, the word understanding. Knowledge is one thing, it sits up in your mind. Think of understanding as a catcher's mitt down in your heart. That's what Mary was, at the feet of Jesus, looking up at him. Her catcher's mitt was like this. Your catcher's mitt was ready to receive from the Lord. And the truth just being received. There's a difference between hearing and listening. There's some of you out in churches today, speaking to the churches as a whole, that are just out there hearing and judging, picking things apart, hearing and making decisions. You're still on the throne. Listen. You need to listen. Bring the catcher's mitt. Open it up. The catcher's mitt and hear the Lord speak. Hear the Lord speak through his word. Jesus would tell Mary and Martha at the same time, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part. Catch this. If you have never caught this in the Mary Martha story, which shall not be taken away from her. Her daughtership, she got it. That daughterhood will not be taken away from you. It will not be taken away. No matter how Martha is getting in your face, and it could be the world and the pressures of it, Christmas and all that stuff going on. Come on, you got to get, tell Jesus her all this stuff going on. It will not be taken away from her. That's a declaration. That's a bold one, man. Stand in that, woman. Stand in that. It will not be taken away from us. That mountain will not be moved. That's the mountain that will not be moved. God's declaration for us. It will not be taken away. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So where were we? Verse 44 tells us where we were. Back to what our daddy was, our birthright in our sin nature. You are of your father the devil, man. That doesn't make friends real quick. You are of the father the devil, but it's true. He's not exaggerating. This is the truth that is all over us. We are born sinners, folks. That's what it means. Our father is the devil. In the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. All of us are born with that nature to murder, whether we do it with the physical things or we do it with words. We're murderers. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. It's a natural thing for us to lie. It isn't. You don't have to get taught that anywhere. Okay, we're going to learn how to lie today. Try a little harder next time and see if you get a perfect score on it. We were very good liars because it comes from that nature of the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. In verse 45, he says there. A little bit tough. Jesus isn't mixing words here. He isn't making it soft, so I'm not either. He wants us to be delivered from that. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 46, he continues, which of you convinceth me of sin, convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He that is of God hears God's word. Ye that hear them not are because you're not of God. That's as simple as it comes. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have the devil? Turning the tables around on Jesus. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, I'm surprised they still have a conversation going. Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Kind of leaning into him now. Man, they're ready to go for it. Who is dead? And the prophets who are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Are you making yourself greater than these? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. Another integrity statement. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Here comes the A-bomb, the I am bomb. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, not reincarnation, but I am. He never stopped. He never stopped and started. The first Christmas, the first Noel, wasn't a beginning of Jesus Christ. He always was the I am. They got it. They understood what he was saying. He made himself equal with God. And so they started doing this. Back to the rocks. Same chapter, they just had these stones, maybe the same stones they had picked up just an hour before when that woman caught in adultery was brought before them. Same chapter, maybe the same rocks, and now they're going to go after Jesus. Now they're going to go after him, declaring himself simply being true to who he is. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's finish here today. Next week we're going to be looking at this healing that Jesus does with a man blind from birth, and you're going to see this light that he declares himself to be manifest in this man's life. So we're going to dig into that. Let's finish here on this I am, though. The I am bomb. Allow that bomb to go off inside of you today. When he leads off, by the way, with this verily, verily, or truly, truly, that's, I'll just read a little excerpt to you what that is like when he speaks that way. Leading off with verily, verily, or truly, truly, not only implies that what follows is true, but also that the person making the statement has firsthand knowledge and authority about it. Saying verily, verily, or truly, truly, before making a statement is a strong claim to truth, presented from an almost audacious attitude. So not only is he saying, I am, he's not like sheepishly saying it, he's saying it in the boldest way possible. The challenge today for you and me in all of this, we've looked at different people. I want to talk about Job too next week. I'm going to bring him into the picture here about our sonship. It's a powerful one. I didn't have time to go there today. And we'll go there in the healing of the blind man. But in this sonship and daughtership, here's where we need to get today. What have you painted over the reality of what God has declared you to be? You see a beautiful painting. There's a son or a daughter. painted on a picture, and then we go over it with our own stuff. We start painting over it. What have you painted over what God has declared you to be? Be honest today. Just a life failure, your failure at life, a flop, a victim, a weirdo, ugly, fat, dumb, old or too young. I remember being too young, and I remember, you know, thinking too old. Ex-success, maybe on the positive side, you know, you have things that you've painted over. Some title, some position or multiple ones. Bank accounts, what your bottom line is. Your reputation, what people think of you. Your friend count on Facebook. All of those things, we can take the reality of what God has declared you to be, and we start dirtying that picture with it. And we've painted over it with something that says failure. We've allowed that to happen. I want you to see something here in what Jesus declared with this I am bomb, and allow it to go off in you. Something very cool and very backwards to how the world defines us. Jesus is totally defined in this statement, I am. He is whole in that statement. You don't need to add anything else to that. He does for us. But he begins there. That's the core of who he is. He's holy. Do you know what holy means? Doesn't mean he walks 5 feet above the ground. That means there's nothing you can add to him. He's not like Swiss cheese. Like he's lacking. He's whole. He's whole. The I am declares that. It's singularity. It's one God. When you look at light, you look at the singularity of light. It's coming across to us as white light. You break that apart, there's a spectrum to it. But right now, there's a singularity. There's a completeness. That's the I am. When we start seeing Jesus as the bread of life, he's the water, he's the resurrection and all that, we're breaking off into those different colors and descriptions of who God is. But he's a singularity. He's complete in the I am. And that complete package is where I step into. I step into this I am. He's invited me into this relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. And I find my identity as a son, as an adopted son, as an adopted daughter. That won't be taken away. Light and water and the natural are helpful to us. They're helpful creations of God that he designed to represent him. And all you have to have is light and water come together in the sky. And what do you have? You have a rainbow. Isn't that pretty cool? The singularity of light, God just being that single one God, coming through the water of his word, Jesus Christ being the word. And you see God just breaking out into this beautiful spectrum of who he is. That's the word of God and the light of God coming through that word. And we can see Jesus. We understand him to be the resurrection. We understand him to be the bread of life. We understand him who he is. Jesus came to earth so we can understand who God is. The light working through the water of the word brings us into that spectrum of understanding who God is. It's a beautiful thing. When Jesus says, I am, that you can think of that as perfect light. When Jesus says, I am the word, think of it as water. When Jesus says, I am, think of it as the perfect true light. When Jesus says, I am the word, think of it as water. When Jesus says, I am Son, the Son, think of it as the rainbow. I am the Son on this earth. I am the Son on this earth to demonstrate the Father, to show you the Father, to show you this perfect light. God showed to me this personally, so I want to share this to you. I can't bring my heart out and set it on the table and really bare my heart to you guys this morning, but I can tell you at least a little bit of it and finish with a story about the I am. You see, my thought about God was a certain way. It was a little bit slanted. I had a little bit of the spectrum of who Jesus was from my Catholic upbringing, and it was just a little bit over here in one of the shades of the colors of who God is. And God wanted me to know who he was a lot bigger than that. So he did that. I was talking to Gretchen. This was probably before Tony was born. Just the girls were born. We're on a 3-hour drive back to Owego, back to our parents' house to visit. And I love science and everything, so I'm boring her to death with light. just the fascination, you know, trying to get her excited. Can't you be excited about light? You know, I'm telling you about the properties of light and trying to get her excited. And she's being a good wife, trying to pretend that it's interesting. You know, so it's like hours of this going on. And it was just like, it was coming on me, this light stuff. And I was so excited about it. And I get, you know, we're tired. We come up to the room that we're staying at, my mom's house, and it's dark out. And I got stuff, got the kids in one arm and the baggage in the other arm. And mom's got this poster on one of her doors. And it's the I Am poster. It's got all the descriptions of Jesus through the whole Bible and the different colors of them. From the all these hues, it says all these things about who Jesus is. There's tons of them. We got it back there on the wall as well. The descriptions of our Lord. And in the middle of that, in the core of that, is simply this white lettering that says, I am. And all around that is these different shades of colors and who he is. But I couldn't see anything because the only thing that stood out in that wee bit of light is the I am. That's all I could see because just a little bit of street light was coming through, hitting that poster, and everything else was just fuzzied out. And I could see that I am standing out. And I was like, look at that. You know, you get that unction to look at something, you got to stop. No, I'm tired. You know, I got to get to bed here. You know, it's been a long trip. And it's like, look at that. Look at that. And then, you know, the next day I get up and I see everything else around that. Now I can see in the fullness of light everything else around that. And went in the shower. And it's like, wow, God is like really trying to tell me something here. And then, and it was just the revelation of who he was became so much bigger to me. God just blew my mind. The I am bomb went off inside of me and says, Paul, don't put me in a box. I am. Allow me to be the I am in your life. And the reality of who God is, how beautiful and big is, we'll talk about more next week when we talk about Job, blew me away to the point where I couldn't stand up. I fell down in the shower. I just collapsed right down. The power and presence of who he was overcame me. We serve a holy God and a huge God. Huge, huge God. A mighty God. When Jesus talks to these people, he's not exaggerating when he says, I am. When he talks to them, I know who I am and where I came from and where I'm going and why I'm here. He knows. He is awesome. He knows who we are. He knows who we are. He wants to declare you a son or daughter. He will not force himself on you. There is no spiritual rape that goes on in the body of Christ. He will not force himself onto your heart. That is one place that he says, you can have that. That's your free will. But I want you to know that I love you. The first letter that I got from Gretchen that said that changed everything. She was the first one to say it. I've been hurt before, and she'd been hurt before, and she wrote me a letter, and I still have it somewhere that said that. I'm taking a risk here. I'm going to say it. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to write it down. Here it is. It was right at the end. I love you. I read that. I was at IBM at work, and I'm like starting to shake. I didn't know what to do. I was just, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. Man, what's going to happen next? She said it. She said the bomb. She dropped the bomb. God has dropped the bomb on us. He said, I love you. I love you. Allow that reality to get inside of you. He will not take over your heart unless you invite him in. Invite him into that place that he said, you can have that. This is your heart. I want to have a relationship with you, but you have to receive. You got to accept. You've got to say the I do, I will. You've got to accept and receive and believe. I love you. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this body, Lord God. Thank you for us gathering today, that the heat that we have, that we're able to enjoy and comfort, Lord God, these truths and these realities. As we sing this last song, Lord God, the rock's falling. I know the one thing that's keeping us from accepting that love, Lord Jesus Christ, is those things that we've been born with. Those definitions of the world, the judgment that's come, Lord God. The things that we've defined about ourselves. That's a rock in your hand that's got to be let go of. Drop it out. As you hear the words this song, The Rock's Falling. Drop out that judgment, those things you've determined about yourself, the things you think about yourself and what people have told you. Drop it right off and receive what God is telling you, that you're a son or daughter right now. Allow that to be the central truth. Allow that to be the only truth where everything else flows out of. I'm going to pray for healing today. So if you're believing, you're not doubting, join me as I go around and pray for people. If you're doubting, if you don't believe in physical healing, stay where you are. That's okay. God will bring it to you someday. He'll bring you that understanding. But join me in praying for people today. I'm going to go around as the song goes and be praying for physical healing.
The broken calling to the God who moves the mountains. The earth is shaking, the weary waking to the God who moves the mountains. He is not confined.
After
till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear.
He is pleased when we show this type of faith and we stand on the truth that we are a son or daughter. He is very pleased.